Your SteveJonesShow.com audio is coming up next. Audio and podcast of The Steve Jones Show, a service of Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is The Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And good Tuesday afternoon, everyone. Welcome to the Steve Jones Show. As we continue with SJS on this Tuesday, today's show, of course, from the beautiful Sunbury Motor Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Key, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and the Hillshire's General Store Hotline open today at 1-800-795-9565. Powered by Hillshire's General Store, 7 miles south of Sealands Grove. Go to www.hillshirestore.com. Now, this is the All Steve Jones Tuesday, because tonight we will have the show from Damon's with Patrick Chambers from 6.05 to 7 on the Penn State Sports Network. Reason being is because the Thursday night game is going to be at Iowa. We'll be on the air at 7.30 with that one from Carver Hawkeye Arena. So instead of doubling up with the show and also the basketball game on Thursday, we'll do the basketball show tonight. And then we'll have the show, we'll have the basketball game Thursday at Iowa. Hawkeyes, by the way, played an overtime game on Sunday, lost at Purdue in overtime. And the Nittany Lions, of course, looking to break through in the conference. Our thanks to Dave Paulson, the Bucknell basketball coach, for being on yesterday's show, and also to Tony DeFazio. Coming up tomorrow, Greg Cosell from NFL Films, NFL Network, will be on the show tomorrow. We're also going to have on the show Gordon Brunskill tomorrow from the Center Daily Times, and Chuck Greenberg, the owner and managing general partner of the State College Spikes, who is still in part ownership of the Texas Rangers as well, will be on our show tomorrow as we talk about that and much more. Bernard Pollard says the NFL will be gone in 30 years. Kevin came up yesterday with 17 suggestions, one intriguing, one for 17, below the Mendoza line, but it certainly was worth considering. We'll come back with more in a moment. But first, above the noise, Dan Patrick weighs in.
While your favorite team is driving down the field, you're driving all around looking for a new car, which is driving you crazy. Well, Sunbury Motors makes buying a new car easy with a huge inventory and lots of choices. Our North 4th Street Auto Plaza is stocked full of Ford, Lincoln, and Hyundais. We sell over a couple hundred cars a month. Why? Service and price. With our lowest price promise, if you can find a better price at another dealer on the used car you want, we'll beat it. That's a promise. Shop the largest Ford dealership online 24/7 at sunburymotors.com. Let's stop in and test drive Ford, Lincoln, Hyundai at the North 4th Street Auto Plaza in Sunbury and our Kia dealership at Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And be ready to tackle the largest inventory and our lowest price promise, selling more cars and satisfying more customers in 1915. Sunbury Motors. SunburyMotors.com. The winning team.
You're as cold as ice. Theme song of a guy who works in a press box and doesn't know what it feels like to be in the stands.
That's not true. I've seen many games in the stands in that kind of weather. And that's the way football is meant to be played, in the elements.
Okay. No problem with that.
But think about it. Why wouldn't you want to play the Super Bowl anywhere?
That's not even remotely my point about MetLife Stadium.
I understand that. You were making a completely different point. I understand that. You were talking about how do you spend that kind of money and not have a roof on it, simply because, well, most of those stadiums cost that with a roof.
All right. And my point was is that you now reduce the viability of the stadium, because now you can't host an NCAA regional, you can't host a Final Four and be in that rotation, which then brings with it, obviously, along with the Super Bowl, that you can put yourself in the Super Bowl rotation by having that, because you're New York.
I just don't think you should limit the Super Bowl to just warm climates. Now Jason posted on Facebook that he thinks it should be an NFL rule that if the host city doesn't get warmer than 75 degrees, they have to have a dome.
The rule is 50.
Oh, there actually is a rule.
For the Super Bowl.
I didn't realize there was
the
a
Super
rule.
Bowl, for the Super Bowl, the average temperature must be above 50 degrees. They waived it for New York.
I didn't realize. I mean, I thought it was just a rumor. I didn't realize it was an actual rule.
No, it's a rule. When it comes, that's not a rule. It's a regulation.
Okay, regulation. Yeah.
When it comes time to bidding for a Super Bowl, the average temperature the first week of February must be better than 50 degrees.
Now my comment to that is, you know, I think this is a game that has been played in the elements forever. Some of the most memorable NFL games, the Fog Bowl, you know, that playoff game between New England and Oakland in the snow, which became known as the Tuck Rule game, you know, the frozen tundra of Lambeau. I mean, those are games that you remember not only because of what was played, but the elements that were that they played the game in. You have the snowplow game with Miami and New England.
I think it's fine they're playing outdoors next year. I have no issue with that whatsoever. None. Zip. Zilch. I'm just saying, how do you spend $1.6 billion in New York City or the metro New York area and not have a retractable roof on it, which then gives you the flexibility to host other events?
I don't know. I mean, that's a lot of money not to put in a roof when most stadiums with a roof cost that. But you know, my buddy Flacco had a comment on this yesterday. He says that it's stupid.
To what?
If you want a Super Bowl, put a dome on your stadium and then you get one. Playing a game in a northern climate, we'll call it, is stupid.
Super Bowl week, it'll be magnified.
Oh, no question. And that's his opinion. That's okay.
I have no problem with that. Doesn't bother me. We'll talk a lot more tomorrow about Joe Flacco and Colin Kaepernick and a variety of other things with Greg Cosell tomorrow from NFL Films and NFL Network. He'll join us on the show tomorrow. We'll also tomorrow have Chuck Greenberg, the managing general partner of the State College Spikes. He will join us on the show tomorrow as well. And, so we have a lot going on. We have one more guest on tomorrow's show, so looking forward to it. So we have a lot going on tomorrow. Today, it's just the two of us.
You make it sound like, no. You know, let's not even go there. All right, fine. But what's your stance on it? Why does every Super Bowl have to be played in a warm climate? There's still a chance of weather issues. When you play it in Miami, you could have a lot of rain.
Well, last time they played the Super Bowl in Miami was between the Colts and the Bears and it poured. Colts and Bears Super Bowl in Miami poured.
I think I'd rather be cold than drenched.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Let's see.
I can get warmer. It has been played. Drier very well.
It hasn't been played outdoors, but it's been played in Minneapolis. It's been played at Ford Field in Detroit. It's been played last year at Lucas Oil Stadium in Indianapolis. And I think the coldest one they had was actually in New Orleans. I think it was 39 degrees for Super Bowl IV. Had a little ice the morning of the game. The weather wasn't so great for Super Bowl VIII at Rice Stadium in Houston, outdoors. What I don't like is that when you have games like Reliant Stadium in Houston or in Glendale at University of Phoenix Stadium and it's nice out, they keep the roof closed.
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense. That doesn't make any sense.
I don't get that. That part I don't get.
Well, and I don't like a dome stadium because now the kickers don't have the issue of wind or anything like that.
Well, the 49ers kicked in the Dome Stadium last week, and Akers still missed.
Well, that wasn't a wind issue.
That's a big advantage in this game. I mean, the rookie out of Texas, Tucker, it's a big advantage in this game, just like I think Andy Lee is a huge advantage for San Francisco punting the ball in this game, especially in the Dome. Now, there are people that want... And, of course, yeah, we all know the awful weather they had in Dallas for the Steelers and Packers. They had terrible weather all week. It was cold the entire time.
Yeah.
It was cold the entire time. Got the game day. They were able to go in. You know, it's not just the game, okay?
You know, the reason that, you know, you want to have a dome, have the possibility of a retractable dome, okay, it's because of the fans. Fans want to be able to go in, wear their shirt, you know, their team shirt or a golf shirt or whatever, and enjoy the game.
I respectfully disagree. Yeah, it's more about money.
This is for their comfort. What's more about money? See, the ticket's the same regardless of where you are.
It's more about money because you're going to have more people outside the stadium with their little events and everything and a chance to make more money there if the weather's nicer.
Well, you're cynical.
Well, that shouldn't be a surprise to anybody listening to this program.
Wow. Yeah, you think it's about cash, huh?
Yeah.
What, about FanFest?
That's right. Yeah, FanFest. I couldn't remember what it was called. FanFest. It's so you can get people out to those type of events.
Okay. I thought they were making enough money from the game to begin with. TV rights and things like that. I thought a lot of that FanFest stuff was free, isn't it?
No, but everything that goes around with it is what I'm talking about. I mean, people come in for FanFest, they're going to spend money that they wouldn't normally spend if they were just going to a game. And by having it in a place like Pasadena, it's now a tourist destination location. So now more people come in and say, well, you know, if I don't get tickets to the game, we'll go to FanFest and stuff like that. Just my opinion. I could be wrong.
If you're going to a tourist area, you don't really care about FanFest, do you?
Well, I see.
You go to New Orleans. I mean, do you go to New Orleans? You go, I can't wait to go to FanFest, or do you want to go to Bourbon Street?
Well, now with the, well, I'll give you that. But with the addition of,
I mean,
of,
you go to New York. Where do you want to go? Times Square or FanFest?
Well, with the addition of places that like the ticket.
Am I confusing? If I confusing you here?
No, but I'm saying, listen to me a minute. With the ability to get tickets online, it isn't as big of an issue as it would have been maybe 15 years ago when if you did not get tickets to the game, you had to go to the game to get tickets. That's what I'm saying. It may not be as big of an issue now. I will concede that.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Just forget it.
I have no idea what you're talking about. Our number is 1-800-795-9565. Maybe you can chime in and I can figure out what you're talking about.
I can't understand why it has to be played in a warm climate. That's all. Don't understand it.
I didn't say it had to be played in a warm climate.
I know you didn't. But that's what the NFL wants, except for this particular issue, this particular Super Bowl coming up next year.
First of all, it brings in fewer logistical problems, okay? When they played at the Silverdome, the first time the 49ers won the Super Bowl, it was a blizzard. They had a blizzard that day. It was a blizzard outside the stadium, outside the Silverdome.
Well, now that's a valid point. Now, that's something I didn't think about. That's a valid point.
Okay? They had a blizzard. It was cold last year in Indianapolis. Okay? I mean, playing in warmer weather, I have no problem with, like, I mean, to me, fun bowl games have been watching the Pinstripe Bowl between Syracuse and West Virginia in a snowstorm. I thought that was cool.
I agree.
I thought watching the Humanitarian Bowl a couple of years ago, when it was the Humanitarian Bowl out in Boise and it snowed, the blue field, the whole thing, I thought that was cool. I mean, that's fine. I don't mind a mix. I think it's fine New York's getting the game. I think Detroit's had it twice between the Silverdome and Ford Field. They've had it twice. Minneapolis had it once when the Redskins won it. Indianapolis finally is into the rotation. Hey, you know San Francisco's new stadium's probably going to get it at some point, the one that they're building in Santa Clara. They'll probably get the game. I mean, I think fewer logistical problems happen when you're in a warmer weather climate. There's also more of a feeling of people who actually want to go outside and be a part of what's going on when you're in a warmer weather climate.
That's kind of the point I was trying to make.
But if you go to New York, you still go to Times Square.
That's true.
Okay. You go to Detroit, you stay in your hotel, and you just hope for a police escort to the game. All right.
So much for our Detroit listeners today.
We'll come back second half hour here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Kevin explained it to me during the break. I still don't get it.
I don't know. I can't explain it any better.
What bothered you is I explained it better.
You did. Sadly enough, you did.
That really bugged you.
Sadly enough, you did. You're the glue that keeps the program together.
Oh, yeah, the straw that stirs the drink. All right. It's the All Steve Jones Tuesday.
Which was postponed for Monday this week, or Thursday this week, rather.
Well, no, Thursday we're carrying the game.
Oh, so it'll be even longer. Oh, that's great. I mean, that's great. That's great.
Yeah, I thought Buhner and I did really well when you're on hiatus.
Yeah, maybe. Did you see some of the stories that came out already today? Ravens Lewis denies banned substance use.
Yes, something to do with some antler something or other. They use antler wax or something. I don't know what it is.
I have no idea what that's about. Antler wax?
I don't know what it is. I mean, look, when we're going to taxidermy here to get to, you know, how to fix a torn labrum, I don't know. Wow. Let's go to Tommy and Shimoka. Tommy or Tony?
Tony.
Tony, how are you?
Good. How are you?
It's really bad when I'm knowing who the caller is more than the...
It was a typo, okay? It was a typo. Man.
I talk about concussions in football. In rugby, do they have a concussion problem? And back when the old NFL and college days, they wore just a basic leather helmet. Did they have much of a concussion problem?
Of course they do. They didn't know they had it.
That's what I was thought.
You know what I mean? I think one of the things we're seeing today, Tony, with concussions is that there's a far greater awareness of it. And because there's a far greater awareness and there are more precautions taken, we're now talking much more about it now than we did 20, 30, 40, 50 years. And yes, they got concussions when they played with leather helmets. They get concussions when they play with rugby. But they just said, hey, their bell was rung. They gave him some smelling salts and they sent him back out there.
So we could have had many concussions and had no idea we had them.
Oh, I mean, I feel like I broadcast my entire life with a concussion.
Well, I've often thought that, too, about boxing. You know, take away the gloves, you see a lot less headshots.
Yeah, you know, and you're seeing, headgear in the Olympics now and things like that.
Hockey, with headgear, there's a lot more sticks to the head now than there ever was when they didn't wear
it. Yeah, and I think that's definitely happened. I don't know how much of that is incidental. I don't know how much we just notice it more.
But even in football, you didn't see guys, at least I don't remember, leading with their heads.
Oh, well, you know what, though? But we've seen the shoulder tackle for a long time, Tony. Guys launching themselves as missiles. I mean, you talk about the Pollard play on Stephen Ridley of the Patriots that forced the fumble.
Yeah.
Right? Technically, it's not helmet to helmet in that he is not a defenseless player as a running back. Okay, if he'd been on the ground and was hit, then it could be spearing or a personal foul. But you watch the play, Tony, right? And here's Pollard telling the world in the 30 years the game will be gone.
It is such a fundamentally unsound play by Pollard. I would never teach a youngster how to tackle that way.
I know.
He gets him down. He gets a fumble. Oh, what a great play by Pollard. No, it's not. That's a fundamentally unsound piece of garbage play. Okay,
yep.
You get in there, you lower your shoulder, you wrap him up, and you take him down. Now, he launches himself in there like a missile, you know, and the big shot hits him head-to-head and knocks him out, and the fumble's caused because he knocked him out helmet-to-helmet. I mean, you saw Ridley basically went limp, and the ball just came out when it hit his knee. Right. That's not a great play by Pollard. That's a piece of junk play. It's plays like his that hurt the game and not Roger Goodell trying to legislate it.
Yeah, exactly right. And there is just too much. That's all you hear when you're watching a football game. And it's almost like that's what they're watching for.
But the helmet-to-helmet thing? Well, they're drawing a penalty. The reason is because it's drawing a penalty. You're talking about 15 yards on a play, 15 valuable yards. And I think that's why they're talking about it more and more when it does happen. If you notice, Nance and Sims never mentioned the helmet-to-helmet hit between Pollard and Ridley. They just talked about the fumble. Meanwhile, Ridley's prone in the field and doesn't even know he's in Foxborough. He thinks he's in Foxingham in California. They never talked about it.
That hit in the South Carolina, who did they place? Michigan game.
Yeah, you're talking about Clowney.
Right.
Jadeveon Clowney on Vincent Smith?
That was a legit hit.
It is a legit hit, and he's knocked the helmet off.
And he just thought that was a perfect tackle.
Right. Fundamentally sound, Tony. Lined him up, hit him hard, and because Smith didn't probably have it buckled on with all four snaps on, had two, the helmet flew off just from the mere whiplash of it.
That reminded me of a hit Bruce Clark had once on a Rutgers quarterback.
Yeah, McKnight was the quarterback. He was in the back of the end zone, and Bruce Clark, that's the hardest hit I ever saw delivered in person by a human being.
I seen that. I couldn't believe that.
I thought the kid exploded.
But, hey, that's what the game's all about. So, in other words, my comment about rugby and leather helmets was as silly as I thought it was.
They were getting concussions back then. But again, what would happen? Smelling salts, get him back out there, he'll be all right. Or the old saying, he got his bell rung.
Yeah, and back in two plays later.
Right, back in two plays later. Exactly. I mean, now you actually have a doctor on location at every NFL stadium. If they judge that someone is at risk of a concussion or may potentially have one, they have the power to pull that player off the field.
Okay, thanks for your time, Sam.
Tony, always a pleasure. Thanks.
Yes, bye.
It's great talking to Tony. Always makes some great comments. I understand, Tony. He left.
I'm here. I just have nothing. I tried to explain it. It didn't come out real well. You did a much better job of explaining my point.
No, you think people just go to FanFest because they want to be a part of... Your friend went to Detroit just to say he was in Detroit when they played the
game. To be part of the event.
All right. The minuscule amount of people that do that... Go watch the game at home if you don't have a ticket.
So you're saying I'm in the minority because I would go to Times Square on New Year's Eve just to say I did it.
Oh, my sons have done that.
But see,
my son and my daughter, they've done that. They've done it three or four times. They've gone because they just like being a part of it. And when you're done, okay, beforehand, you eat at some of the finest restaurants in the world. Okay, if you can pick any place you want, you can go any place you want when you're done. Then you're a part of it. You see it. You stand there. They drop the ball, the whole thing. But it's all part of what's going on. Part of getting a Super Bowl is, for example, for an entire week, is that you are drawing in fans, in this case, from San Francisco and Baltimore. It's great for the tourism and the tourism dollars of New Orleans, just like it'll be great for the tourism dollars for New York.
Last year's game, it was great for Indianapolis. Indianapolis poured a lot of money, you know, because the Big Ten tournament is in Indianapolis. You know, I saw the money that they were pouring in and transforming and changing over parts of the city. What had been a primary street for them was turned into a walking street in the quad area, you know, so they could put the fan fest that you're talking about there and so forth. You know, but the fan fest is there. This is something to do before you go into the game. I mean, everything. I mean, there's a fan experience, for example, when you go into the Big Ten tournament, for crying out loud. There's a fan experience when you go to the Big Ten football championship game. There's a fan experience when you go to the Rose Bowl. I mean, I bypass all this stuff because, I mean, I'm there to work. You know, but I see it. But that's, you know, that's for the people who are there. And there's a minuscule amount of people that show up and go, hey, I'm going to go to Fan Fest, but I'm not going to the game. I mean, just like there are people that go to New York near Times Square on New Year's Eve and don't go over to Times Square because they went in, they want to go to Ben Benson's, get themselves a steak.
But I think there were many more people that did it in years past when tickets were not as easy to come by as they are now, thanks to different, you know, StubHubs and things like that.
How are tickets easy to come by?
No.
For the Super Bowl.
I don't mean easier to get and pay for. I mean easier to go to get if you want them. That's what I mean. The tickets are available now. You don't have to go to the game to get them. In other words, a lot of times you had to either know somebody that had a ticket and buy it from them, or you went to the game and you found somebody that was getting rid of a ticket.
Yeah, but you still have to for the Super Bowl.
No.
If you're talking about a regular season game?
No. I mean for the Super Bowl itself. You can actually, if you want to pay the money, I'm sure you could find tickets right now on StubHub. Whereas maybe 20 years ago, before StubHub and places like that didn't exist, it was a lot harder and you had to go to the game to get that ticket. And you had to buy it from a guy who wanted to sell you a $20,000 pencil. You've never done that, so you don't know what I'm talking about.
No, I have no clue what you're talking about. I mean, I know StubHub, if you wish to pay through the nose, you can get tickets to the Super Bowl.
Right.
Okay.
Let's just say there are some events you can go and buy a ticket.
But the percentage of people who go to the Super Bowl, first of all, the stadium only seats 78,000. Okay, so there's only so many tickets available.
Let's just say that there was a time where if you wanted to go to an event, you went to the game, you went to the stadium.
Right. I see here at Beaver Stadium all the time, people holding up two tickets.
Right.
Okay. At the Super Bowl, you don't go down to the Super Bowl saying, hey, gee, I hope I can get two for $500 apiece. I mean, who does that? When you can sit at home, watch the game.
It depends if my team wins and I might.
Why buy the airfare, the flight, and the whole thing to go down there and do that? What, so you can go to FanFest?
If my team was involved, I might. I might do that.
I've been to the World Series, and that's because I was offered two freebies and went. Didn't pay a dime.
By the way, the NFL experience now, they're selling tickets for that. Is that something different this year? I thought that was free all those years.
I have no idea. See, that's another thing. If I went, I wouldn't go. I just want to go to the game.
You don't want the whole experience?
Of what? I want to go to the game.
It's the Super Bowl. You don't want the whole experience? Why do you think people spend the entire week down there?
My experience is, okay, say we go to New Orleans, okay? I go down to New Orleans, okay? Between now and then, okay, I would go to Media Day today.
Absolutely.
Okay? Get as much in as I could. Okay? Try to get as many players with primary targets. My primary targets would be Navarro Bowman, Nathan Stupar, Jim Caldwell. Okay? Now after that, it's bonus time as to who I get. Now, why am I want those three guys? Bowman played at Penn State. Stupar is on the practice squad and played at Penn State. Jim Caldwell, of course, I've known Jim for 20 years. Okay? Actually, 25 years I've known Jim. And he's now the offensive coordinator who has ties to Penn State. There's certain things. In fact, we have a crew from Penn State football, the next chapter, the Penn State football story. They're in New Orleans. And, in fact, I was in communication with them with a list of questions for those three guys that we needed to have asked today. I was working as a consultant as to what to ask at Media Day today. Now I get Media Day done. Now what do I do? What I do at this point is now I'm in one of the greatest cities on the face of the earth to get myself a great meal. And I'm going to go to NOLA near Jackson Square, Emerald's original restaurant. And maybe tomorrow, when I'm done with media work, I'll go to Court of Two Sisters for lunch. Or I'll go to Benson's for a steak at night. Okay? I'm in one of the greatest culinary blessings that you could possibly ask for in New Orleans. There are more great restaurants in a shorter distance than any place except maybe New York City or Chicago.
But there's only one problem with this scenario that you're coming up with.
I'm having fun.
Yes, that's the key. You're working. You're not going as a fan. That's where the difference is. You're going and you're working the event. You're not going as a fan. As a fan, okay, you don't have access to the things you do when you're working at an event. I would not have access to those things.
So that's why as a fan, they have Harrah's. That's why as a fan, you can go to... I'm not kidding. You can go to Biloxi. Okay? There are a lot of things that you can do like that, plus enjoy the great meals of New Orleans. I don't need to throw a football through the clown's mouth.
See, I'm going to throw the football through the clown's mouth. I'm going to go to every show that I can find that's being recorded there and hang out for a few minutes and hear what they have to say. That's all part of the experience to me.
Well, to each his own. To each his own.
I mean, I went to Michigan State when Penn State won and went to the Rose Bowl and beat Michigan State. I went to game day. And I went not for any other reason than it was there and so was I.
That's fine. I think that I have no problem with that. I think that sounds like fun. To every person, they have their own element of fun. But to me, the NFL fan, the fan experience stuff, I walk past this stuff all the time. Bowl games and things like that. I go, okay. I mean, I walk past it here on Curtin Road at Beaver Stadium all the time. And I keep on going because I have a job to do. That's for one thing. And, you know, the other part, too, it takes me long enough to walk.
But if you didn't have a job.
From point A to point B anyway.
If you didn't have a job and be stopped by 700 people on the way from your car to the stadium, would you stop at things like that? If you were just there as a fan.
No. Would I buy a souvenir? Yes.
And I ask you again, when did you stop becoming a fan?
I've never been like that. I've never been, even as a kid, I always wanted, to me, the whole thing was going to see the game. Could not wait to go and see the game. I mean, I remember when I was 5 years old, okay, my grandfather, my father, okay, and a couple of my mother's uncles took my brother and me to see the Red Sox play the Yankees. I remember like it was yesterday. I remember my mother's Uncle Jesse. Buying me peanuts before we go into the game. But there was nothing for me like walking through that portal, and all of a sudden, I'm on the left field side, the third base side of Fenway Park, looking at all that green grass. I mean, to me, that's, okay? You know, like you say, when did you stop liking sports? I think the opposite could be said for you. What is it about the games that makes the outside stuff more attractive?
See, I look at it as the whole picture, because when I was a kid, the first Penn State game I went to, I never stepped foot in Beaver Stadium. We didn't have tickets. We went up, we tailgated. We listened on the radio. We saw one of the punts that seemed to be, at least we thought it was, high enough that we could actually see it from the parking lot where we were. You know, that was the first experience I had. And then that made going into the stadium the next time even better.
Well, again, it's to each his own. I mean, I can remember one thing I made sure the first time I took my son to Fenway Park, the first time I took him, okay, and he was 6 years old at the time.
And so it's my oldest boy. It's big, you know, for me as a father, it was just a wonderful moment. But the first thing is this, okay, Mike, you got to have yourself a sausage sandwich here at Fenway Park. And he's like, oh, Dad, this is, you know. And then we went in, and it was the game. Once we got into the game, we got into the game.
Well, and is it because that...
The centerpiece is the game, okay, to me. Now, it may not be to
no,
you.
I understand.
It may be throwing the Nerf ball through the clown's mouth. I don't know.
All right, well, let me give you an example. The first game that I took Daniel to. We went to Citizens Bank Park.
And we're out of time.
Funny. Well, we go to Citizens Bank Park, and there's everything that goes on outside in the outfield in Ashburn Alley. And then there's like, oh, wait, we can go get our seats now. The game's starting.
Well, no, but that's fun. There's nothing wrong with that. It's just not my bag of fun. Now, part of this, now you have to remember, though, all right? Part of this, for me, is that being out in crowds, and it's even on the road, all right, is I get stopped a lot.
Yeah, I don't have that problem.
No, but you know what I'm saying, though?
I do. So I do understand.
I don't. And believe me, do I cherish every person that comes up and says hi? Yes, I do. Okay? I absolutely do. And I think everybody will tell you, not once have I ever said, no, please, I'm busy. I have always stopped because I like talking with people. And if they think I am somebody they want to talk to, that means a lot to me. Okay? But also at the same time, do I want to go to a fan fest? Especially, you know, I am in a position where I'm always working, I guess. How about that?
Yeah, you are.
I mean, I went to Citizens Bank Park. I remember I went to Citizens Bank Park. I finally got a chance to go. I was sitting behind the Phillies dugout at great seats. I got up. I walked up the aisle just to get myself something to eat and go to the bathroom. And five guys yell over, hey, Steve, how good are we going to be this year? Mm-hmm. The last game I went to PNC Park, I mean, my son leaned over to me and said, Dad, why don't you just have a press conference? It would be easier.
Now that's funny.
It was Daniel that said that. All right, let's take a break. I mean, see what I mean? I mean, and again, this is not, please, nobody interpret this as a complaint. This is not a complaint. It is a privilege. Okay? It is a privilege. Okay? All right? But at the same time, I can't. It's a little different going to a game for me now compared to me going to a game 30 years ago. How about that?
No, I get that. I really do.
Okay, and it's a privilege. Believe me, if you were to ask me which one I would want the experience I'm having now because I love my job and people are incredibly nice to me. Let's take a break because the band is itchy.